and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter. Some version says the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was, set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even as we are running the race, the Bible says we have cloud, we're surrounded with cloud of witnesses. You know, when I first read that, I was thinking, are people watching us? Are there people that have gone ahead? Are they watching us? Are they looking at us? You know, because when you run in a race, there are always spectators. And I remember when I was running a race, you know, I was an athlete and I used to run. And whenever I'm running, you know, people would cheer me up and that would motivate me, you know, motivate me to run. And so even as we are running the race, we want to look at four powerful motivations that will help us to run the spiritual race faithfully. And one of them is that we need to be inspired, which is a cloud of witnesses. We need to be free from weight and sin. We need to be determined. We need to run with endurance. And we need to look up to Jesus because he is the author and finisher of our faith. Amen. We need to be inspired. The Bible, we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, when I was reading it, I went back to Hebrews chapter 11 that talks about heroes of faith. You know, these heroes, these are people that have gone through, they have run the race. So they are our inspiration. So if we go back to Hebrews, I will encourage you to go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and look at these heroes of faith. Read about these heroes of faith. They will inspire you. They will help. You will want to run the race all the more. And I looked at just few of these heroes of faith. Abraham. Abraham is one of the heroes of faith that I really admire. You know, if we know anything about Abraham, God told him to leave his country and to go to a place that he didn't know. Can you imagine? God said to you, you know what? You know that you have a job here. You have everything here. And you know that you are serving a living God. And God does speaks. And God says, you know what? I want you to leave whatever you're doing and go to a land that I will show you. I wonder how many people will be ready to go. You know, but Abraham, he's a man of faith. He knows that God will lead him. So he decided, he took his family and he left. Now, not just Abraham. What about his wife, Sarah? You know, it says by faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. God promised them a child. And Sarah believed in God. You know, it doesn't mean that these heroes of faith are perfect, because they are not. But they trusted God. So Sarah believed in God. Up to the old age, God gave her a child. But can you imagine, after God has given them a child, we're serving a wonderful God. See what God said. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered Isaac. God says, that child that I have given you, I want you to go and offer that child as a sacrifice. Oh my goodness. They must have some kind of a special faith. You know, Abraham, not asking question. I believe he didn't even mention it to Sarah. Call Isaac, let's go. And when they went, he wanted to offer, he had planned to offer it. When they were going, the son asked him, where is the lamb? Abraham says, the Lord will provide. And God saw his faith. God honored his faith. God provided a lamb. And it was through, God promised that through Isaac, the nation will be blessed. And if we read through the Bible, the generation, through Isaac, through up to the time of Jesus Christ, and up to the time for us, we are blessed. Amen. Noah, God told Noah to build an ark. Noah has never seen rain. How much more building an ark? But, you know, he said, well, if God says I should build an ark, I think I have to obey. You know, building a ship in the land. You know, and people look at Noah, you must be crazy. Why are you building a ship on the land, you know? Why are you building a ship? But he knows what God had said to him. Even when he was trying to preach to the people, telling them, God, you have to come in. You know, you have to come. You have to come into the boat. They said, look at him. He's crazy, you know, building a boat in the land. So they disobeyed. But Noah honored God. And he built the boat. What happened? His family was saved. These are men and women that have gone before us. They have run this race that we are now running. They are no special human. They are mere human being like me and you. They ran the race. Elijah. You know, I'm very challenged by Elijah. You know, Elijah challenged the king. You know, first Elijah prayed that there should be no rain. And there was no rain for 3.5 years. And then when he was getting, he said, go and tell the king that it's going to rain. Can you imagine? He must have a big faith. Because he knows that if it doesn't happen, his head will be on the board. So he went and told, said, go and tell him that it will rain. But he did not just sit down. Do you know what he did? He went and prayed. He prayed. The Bible says in prayer he prayed. He put his head within his knee and he prayed that God send forth rain. And God honored his prayer. So these are men and women that have gone through that journey. When we look at their lives, they were not perfect. But they trusted God. And I challenge you this morning. Like if we are inspired by these people. And when we are praying, we said, God, you did it for Abraham. God, you did it for Sarah. God, you will do it for me. Indeed, our God will do it for you, for us. Amen. Which leads us to the next point. We need to be free. When we are running a race, can you imagine? These people are running a marathon with coat and suit, tie and high heels, you know, and all that. You know, when we're running the physical race, we need to be well prepared. We need to dress appropriately. And likewise, when we're doing a spiritual race, we need to be prepared. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight. You look at that young girl. For those of us who come from Africa, we know we used to carry heavy things on our head. At times, it weighs us down. You know, even as a child, we carry water, heavy water. Estella could testify of that. We carry heavy water. You know, we go far away and all that. It weighs us down. It pulls us down. You know, but the Bible says, we need to lay aside every weight. What are these weights? What are the spiritual weights? You know, weight is something that pulls us down. And so, when we talk about spiritual weights, there are certain things we consider, well, they are not sin. The Bible didn't say they are sin. So, you know, yeah. But those things that are pulling us backwards. We want to move forward with the Lord, but we always find ourselves going backward. It's pulling us down. For example, the Bible says that do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And then we say, well, you know what? That man, I'll pray for him. You know, he'll get saved and then we'll get married, you know, and all that. You know, God will save him. You know, but you are not the one that's saving that man or that woman. You know, when the Bible said, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, he meant that. It's like you, the Christian, you are on top of a table. And the person who is the unbeliever is down. Now, you are pulling. Tell me who is going to pull the next person. The person that is, law of gravity, the person that is down will easily pull the person that is up. Because he's down and he's trying to pull, and you are trying to pull the person up. You know, the Bible says, do not unequally yoked, because that person will pull you down. Because the things that you want to do, the person will not want to do that thing. Eventually, you think that, yeah, we'll be praying, I'll be praying for the person, but eventually, you find yourself in the clubhouse dancing at night. Instead of staying at home or reading your Bible, you're gone because that person has pulled you down. So the Bible said, do not. So that's not a sin if you have a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend who is an unbeliever. But the Bible said, do not be unequally yoked. So that person can be a weight in your lives. We all know what are the things that are heavy in our lives, things that we are pulling us away from God. You know, I could testify, I am someone I love looking at Home and Away. So most times after work, even though I'll be tired, I'll wait to go and watch Home and Away. And because I'm so tired, by the time I finish watching Home and Away, I'm tired. I just want to go to bed. So instead of the time that I should take to read my Bible or spend time with God, I'm watching Home and Away. And that's pulling me down. It is pulling me down. And you know what I did? I decided to fast with Home and Away. I said, you know what? I will not watch Home and Away. For 1 week, I'm going to fast because it's like I'm addicted to Home and Away. I'm going to, that time, I'll use that time to be reading the Word of God and praying. And it worked. It really worked. Those things that are pulling us down, we know it. You know, somebody says to me, but the Bible doesn't say we should not smoke. You know, smoking is not sin. Drinking is not sin. I said, yes. But you know what? I want to encourage you. Anytime you take a puff, just say, Father, I thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the cigarettes, you know. Anytime you just take a puff, just begin to bless the Lord and see how you feel about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, certain things are weight in our lives. They are pulling us down. You know, what can be a weight for me cannot be a weight for the next person. But each person, you know within your heart, what is it that is pulling you down? You know, the Bible doesn't say we should not drink. But the Bible, you know, if meat can cause my sister or my brother to stumble, I need to stop taking meat. Because it's not just about myself. Probably I will take a glass of wine and it doesn't mean anything to me. But my brother will come and join me when he takes that glass of wine. As soon as he gets home, he starts taking a gallon. So we have to be careful. There are certain things that are weight in our lives, even though they are not seen. And so if we have that weight, like those people wearing coats and high heels, how will we run? How far will we go as we run the race? And also, the Bible, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't say, just wait. It says, and sin. Well, I'm a Christian. Yes, you're a Christian. Well, Jesus Christ has washed away my sin. Yes, Jesus Christ has washed. But the Bible says, shall we continue in sin? Jesus was talking to Christians, that grace may abound. These days, people don't like to talk about sin. Oh, no, come to church, we don't talk about sin. Jesus Christ has wiped away our sins. We are pure. Yes, we are Christians, but do we sin? You know, it's very easy to say, well, I don't commit fornication, adultery, you know, I don't steal. Those outward sins. What about unforgiveness? Someone hurt you. Someone did something to you that was so bad. I always use myself as an example. I used to have a friend long years ago. She did something to me that was really, really bad. And I felt so bad. And for a long time, I had that hurt inside of me. And one day I was praying. I said, God, I don't know. I'm not able to forgive her. I want to, but I don't know how to go about it. And the Lord says to me, start praying for her. And I was like, God, what should I pray? And then God says, every good thing that you want for yourself, start praying for that person. It wasn't an easy journey, but I started. I kept praying for her, and eventually the burden was lifted up. Unforgiveness, it eats us. It kills us. You know, there's a story about a teacher who was teaching in an elementary or primary school. And one day, she said to the student, how many of you have enemies? And a lot of them lift up their hands. And then he said to them, all right, I want you to go home. Now, when you go home, tell your mom to give you fresh tomatoes. Depending on the number of enemies you have, if you have 5 enemies, bring 5 fresh tomatoes. Even if you have 10, bring 10 fresh tomatoes, which they agreed to. So the next day, they were happy. They came with their tomatoes. Everyone was like, yes, I have 5 enemies. I have 10. I have 3. You know, they were all happy. And the teacher asked them to keep the fresh tomato by their, close to their table, to the desk. They kept the tomato, wanting to know, why did the teacher ask us to keep the tomatoes? The first day, it was there with them. Teacher didn't say anything. They went home, came the next day. Nothing. Teacher didn't say anything. The third day. And you know, fresh tomatoes, they begin to feel soggy, and then they get rotten, and then they stink, and they started stinking in the classroom. And the kids were like, please, teacher, tell us, why are we leaving these tomatoes here? Then the teacher says to them, that's what happens when you keep enemies in your heart. It's stinky. It smells. It destroys you. Your heart is not the place to keep evil thoughts. Your heart is not the place to keep somebody. Release that person. Let that person go. Because if you keep that person in, it becomes sickness in you. Because whenever you see that person, your heart goes boop, boop. You know, you get stressed and all that. So she said to them, so that's why I told you to bring this tomato, so that you know that it is not good to harbor bitterness and evil things in your heart. Hallelujah. So, as it says, forgiveness, release the person. Of course, someone will hurt you. As long as you're on earth, someone will hurt you. But don't keep grudge. Don't keep bitterness, because it kills us inside. And you know, most of the sicknesses that we hear about, it's because we are holding so much inside. And it's pushing us, pulling us down. And we're not able to move forward. There are times we want to do things for God, but we can't, because we are carrying so much bitterness and hatred in our hearts. God wants us to release those things. God wants to set us free this afternoon, in Jesus' name. And we go on. We need to be determined. It's a run with endurance, the race that is set before us. First of all, I want us to look at the race that is set before us. That means each and everyone have our own race. You know, when you're doing like 100 meters, everyone stands on their own lane. And that's how. Don't expect your race to be like the next person. God deals with us differently. And so even as we run on our own lane, you know, somebody says, when you're driving, when you're learning to drive, if you're going straight and looking at the sides, What happened? The car goes to the side. But we have to focus as we drive. So we have our own race. Don't look at somebody and say, God, but look at what is happening in that person's life. But it's not happening in my life. No, God deals with us differently. Don't even look at the pastor, because God deals with the pastor differently. So you look up to God. All right. So even as we run, it says we have to run with endurance. You know, somebody asked, I went to, it's a workshop, a multicultural workshop. And somebody says, you know what? Say, for example, the rebels are coming. I want all of you to think about what you will take from your house. You know, what is it that you will run away with? And people started to say, well, I'll pack a bag. You know, I'll pack that bag. And when they're coming, I will run with my bag. Somebody said, I'll pack my certificates. You know, somebody says, I'll pack. You know, everyone talks about what they'll pack. And when they asked me, I said, you have no time to pack anything. Because when rebels are coming, you only have to run for your life. And I gave them an example of a family who, they had that rebels were coming and they decided to pack food because they were going to walk from one country to the other. So they packed their bags, everyone having their bag, and they started the journey. The journey became so hard that they have to throw the food away because they can't continue to hold on to that food. They can't continue to carry that food. And so even as we run the race, we have to run with patience, endurance, meaning patience. You know, run with patience and trust God for God to see us through. Because it's not an easy race. And it's a race where you have challenges. As we run in the race, you know, some people, the enemy will send, look at you. You can't even do it. Condemnation. The enemy begins to condemn us. You can't do it. What are you doing? Just give up. Look at you. You can't. But the Bible says there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Even to them that are called by his name. So as you run the race, as the enemy tries to attack you, tell the enemy what the word of God says. The enemy will want to strike you with sickness. From one sickness to the other, you're moving from one doctor to the other. You don't know what is happening. You've been praying and it doesn't seem as if things is anything good is going to come out of it. In fact, the enemy will tell you, you are going to die. You know? But you tell the devil, I shall not die, but live to declare the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Let's stand up on the word of God because there is power in the word of God. The Bible said the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. So we use the word of God to defeat the enemy. So the journey is not an easy road. The Bible didn't promise us that it's going to be a bed of roses. No. The enemy will try to attack you. You know, there are times you've been praying for something. You have prayed and prayed and prayed, but it's like nothing is happening. What is going on? But I want to encourage you. I want to let you know that even as you're going through this journey, as you're running this race, Jesus is with you. Because he promised us in his word. He said, I will never leave you. Not forsake you. So even though you are struggling, he is there with you. He's saying to you, keep on my daughter. He's saying to you, keep on my son. I am with you. I will never leave you. I will take you through. Even though it seems as if there is no way out, but I want to encourage you, there is a bright light at the end of the tunnel. Things are going to change in your life. You know, Jesus is with you. And that's why I always like to give a story about this man who had a dream. And in the dream, he was walking alongside Jesus. Jesus showed him his past. He went and met Jesus, and Jesus showed him his past. And he could see that they were walking along, you know, in the beach. You know, with the beach, the sand, when you put your foot, each footstep, it's left like there's a footprint. And so Jesus was just showing him his life, and he saw all the struggles that he was going through. But then it got to the point, instead of him, he saw that Jesus was going along with him. But he got to the point, instead of him seeing two sets of footprints, he saw one. And he said to Jesus, I remember this time. It was when I was going through the hardest point in my life. How come you left me at this time? And Jesus says, I didn't leave you. It was so difficult for you that I had to carry you in my hands. And I want to encourage you that when it's so hard, when it seems as if there is no way out, Jesus is there to carry you. He will carry you through. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will go with you to the very end. You will make it, and you will get to the end in Jesus' name. And that takes me. We need to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, when we're running a race, we have the, what do you call it? The where you cut the rope, where the rope ends. And if you're an athlete, whenever you're running, you're looking forward because you don't want to be distracted. Because the moment you're distracted, imagine running and you're looking at the other person behind your back. Before you realize it, you are behind. But you have to fix your eyes upon Jesus. The Bible says he's the beginner. He starts with you. He starts when you accept Jesus, that was where you started. And he, when you're running, he is running with you. He's going with you. And to the end, he's there to welcome you. He said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Keep going as you fix your eyes upon Jesus. And it says, when we fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author, who for the joy that was set before us, he endured the cross. Who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He went through the cross for you and for me. Because he wants us to have salvation. You know, one day I was praying, I asked God, what does this mean? God gave me an illustration. He says, when a woman is pregnant, the woman, even though she knows that it's going to be painful, it's not going to be easy, especially when the woman is coming to the point of delivery. You know, it's not an easy road. But for the joy of having that baby, that woman will go through whatever pain it takes so that she can have her baby. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. He went through the cross because he knows that dying on the cross will bring salvation for you and for me. And I want to encourage you this afternoon, as you fix your eyes upon Jesus, remember what he did on the cross for you. He was nailed to the cross for you. He was laughed at. He was mocked. He carried the cross. They pushed him. They made fun of him. He went through that pain for you and for me, so that today we can have salvation. And I don't know what's going on. I don't know whether you are here. You have never accepted the Lord. Then you haven't started the race. The first thing is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you start the race. So if you are here this afternoon, I want to tell you that Jesus died for you. He died. He went through the cross for the joy of having you. Do not leave this place without giving your life to Jesus. And I don't know what you are going through. I don't know what's happening in your life. But I want to encourage you this afternoon. Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will take you to the very end. And I don't know what's your problem, but he says, call upon me and I will answer you. And I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Hang on to him. Trust him.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. I want us to stand up this afternoon. Stand where you are. And I want us to talk to God. He's here. He's in our midst. He wants to meet you at the point of your need. Look at the heroes of faith. They trusted the Lord, and God did not disappoint them. They believed in God, and God never disappoints them. So God will not disappoint you. If God could go through the cross for you, there is nothing he cannot do. So at this moment, I want you to start talking to God. Begin to talk to God. Tell him what you want. Have that personal one-to-one conversation with him. He's here. He's listening to you. He's passing by this moment to hear your heart cry. Just talk to God. And if you are here and you are sick and you want God to touch you this hour, I just want you to come forward. God is going to touch you in a special way. He told me that he will touch somebody. He told me that he will heal somebody. So, and I believe his word. And I'm just saying to you, if you are here, you know that you are sick and you have been praying and you want God to touch you, I want you to come forward.